Blog Talk Radio.
Round up the usual suspects.
All right. Welcome to this week's Left Ahead podcast. This is Mike Ball, who also blogs at Mary in Massachusetts and Harumph, as well as Left Ahead. I was waiting for a couple things to shake loose this week, and they did. I'll touch a little bit on the Marathon Bombers conviction and what's coming up next, and then get in more heavily into the report on what can happen to the T, the MBTA, the Air Mass Transit around here. First of all, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev found guilty on all 30 counts he was charged with. It seems odd. 30 seems like a whole lot, but it wasn't just that it was each person who was injured. It was conspiracy to bomb a place of public use resulting in death, for example. Lots of aiding and abetting, mostly his brother, possession of firearms in relation to a crime of violence. Same thing with weapons of mass destruction, that kind of stuff, his bombs. So 17 of those, according to the legal guys, could bring the federal death penalty. You should be aware there is not provision for execution anymore. Capital punishment has been outlawed in Massachusetts for 31 years, and the last execution the government committed here was in 1947. We don't really seem to have the stomach for it anymore, even though Massachusetts was a fairly bloody colony when you consider that. They like putting people to death. Of course, they hang people and crush them and did all kinds of things during the witch trials and that kind of stuff up in what is now Danvers Village. But they would publicly hang people in the commons in various towns, usually for murder. And they seem to have gotten that out of their systems finally. So we're not quite where all of the European countries are, but we don't seem to like it. In fact, there was a recent poll after the Tsarnaev trial started by a local media, The Globe, and I think it was BUR, and they said, should he be imprisoned for life or executed? And only 27% of the people said executed, which was interesting because this is a really heinous crime, and a lot of people are saying, well, you can't execute somebody for something like that. Of course, as a anti-capital punishment guy, I said, well, that's the answer. Don't execute people. Murder by the state is still murder. So, I have a hard line on that. It's a bright line, and it's real simple to do not cross this. I was racist Christian. It's real simple. It's in the book. But the question comes now, what's going to happen? And that decision is the same 12 people who found him guilty of everything, including a commerce charge. There was an interesting analysis on the news last night saying, well, if there was any glimmer of hope for him that he might not get sentenced to death, it would be the fact that they convicted him even of the count of disrupting commerce with his bombing, which they did. So all 30 counts. But, it takes a unanimous jury to send the guy to death. And that phase of the trial should start next week, I think, and maybe take a couple weeks. And it's showtime for the defense. Because, as everybody's been said all along, they admitted that he was involved in all this, and he was one of the guys, and they didn't. So that was all done. So guilty verdicts were assumed, and the question was going to be some of or all 30 of the counts, and well, we know the answer to that. So the question comes now, what do you do? And is there going to be a single holdout, even though they said everybody who seated on the jury said they would consider a death penalty? So no hardline anti-capital punishment people were allowed. And there are 12 people in there, and six alternates, and they start talking about it. So it'll be fascinating to see. And I'm betting that there'll be at least one holdout there who's going to buy into the defense arguments that he was a creature of his older brother, And he was just barely 19 and didn't know what he was doing, and you know, blah, 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 blah. So that's going to be the phase of it, and it's going to be the trial that we didn't see during the trial. And I think there's an even chance that his lawyer will put him on the stand and try to create some sort of sympathy for him as a naive person who was under control of a much more powerful personality in his older brother, Tamerlan. So that remains to be seen. And if he is sentenced to death, he will go to a federal facility. There's no provision for executing murder by estate in Massachusetts, so he'd have to go to a federal facility. But there's a good chance he will go to the federal facility in the Midwest anyway, even if he's there for life as a supermax, where other bombers like Ted Kaczynski are already just sitting there waiting. So there's a good chance there. And it's interesting to watch if you go out and look at the stories and the comments on, say, the Boston Globe or the Boston Herald, there's a clear bifurcation, and it's not surprising. The Boston Herald people were talking about putting his head on a stick in the common and, you know, other crass, unchristian kinds of things. And the Globe people basically say, well, you know, a real punishment for him would be not giving him martyrdom and letting him sit in prison and become unknown, disappear, fade back. That seems to be the prevailing attitude in Massachusetts. I don't know if it's going to be the one in the jury, though. They heard a tremendous amount of testimony, almost all of it by the victims and the people who investigated it. So Jokar is not well thought of, and I don't see him having a whole bunch of a shot there. So I guess we'll have to wait and see exactly what we're going to do with that trial. That is a separate trial, and we'll see how many people get on there, and it's probably going to be 2 weeks. So probably at the end of April or the very first week of May, we'll know what the deal is, but you can hold me to it. I'm betting that there'll be at least one holdout, and it's life in prison without opportunity for parole. So there you have it. And then to the T. Now for something completely different. We like to call our Massachusetts Metropolitan Boston Transportation Authority the T. And that covers subways, buses, actually commuter boats too. And trolleys and like that. So the commuter rail is quasi, because somewhere in between. I lived near the Fairmount line, and it's a question of, is that going to become the Indigo line for sure? Is that going to become another subway line, or is that going to stay a commuter rail? Heavy rail, anyway. But we have a bunch of them, and unfortunately we're in that situation of bragging about having the oldest subway in the nation, which is not something to brag about. Pennsylvania, another commonwealth, brags about having the oldest turnpike in the nation. And, you know, it looks like it. And there are a lot of wrecks on there for, you know, badly designed roads that were built for many fewer, many smaller cars a long, long time ago. So having the first of something is not necessarily the best, but we really suffered. And as most people know, Massachusetts had one heck of a winter. It was over 9 feet of snow, and it came in a very short period of time, and it crippled the T. And that was just too much for the relatively new governor, Charlie Baker. It was his first winter, and you know, everything went to hell, and I think he's thoroughly embarrassed and angry about it. Plus, there was a new that French company just took over management of the T, and so they're getting all the blame for it, even though they had nothing to do with not maintaining the tracks and putting on new trolleys with new engines and all the other stuff that would have, maintenance would have been much, much better. But they're taking the blame for it. And Baker's using a lot. So he set up a special task force, a special panel, he called it. And they produced a report, which I'll link to in the leftahead.com. And there's a PDF of the 49 pages of... It's a PowerPoint slide, basically, It's got lots of detail in it and lots of things. It's PowerPoint, so it's not 49 pages of single space text, so you're not going to go blind trying to read it. But I'll put a link up there on the post at leftahead.com, so you can see Back on Track, an Action Plan to Transform the MBTA. So they start out, and it's kind of an impressive set of panelists. Task force included a co-chair who had been the executive director of the MTA, New York's Transit Authority. And she's hot stuff. It's Katie Lapp, LAPP. And so she had, some real credentials there, and was a Massport guy. And a strange one in there was Jose Gomez Ibanez, a Harvard University professor, an old guy, retired, but he writes books, including on privatizing mass transit. I mean, he really was a ringer for Baker's viewpoints, and it's just like, that's not right. He shouldn't have been on there. And we shouldn't be talking about privatizing the T. But he fit right into Baker's plan. And I guess it's just that the other thing about Baker was our governor was the chief financial guy during the Weld administration some years ago that set up financing for the Big Dig. And he really stuck it to the T. They took the money, all the debt from the Big Dig, our construction project, and told the legislature, well, all you need to do is just have the T carry the debt. So you don't have to set up bonds, you don't have to do anything special. Just have the T carry the debt and pay it off slowly and everything. And we'll tell you what you do is you have the... give the T 1% of the never-ending growth spiral of sales taxes, and then it'll fund for itself, and we'll call it forward funding, and we'll make sure that they have to pay their own way from here on out, and that's the way it goes, and isn't that keen? And the legislature said, isn't that keen? And it isn't keen, and it was stupid, and they won't correct it. So this report says, among other things, don't look for more money for the T. It is going to say we need to move the debt off of the T's budget, because what that does is it basically the debt service is like 40% of their budget. So they really can't get ahead. They can't do their maintenance. There are lots of things in the report saying they're not doing enough of this or that. Their cars are old. But, when 40% of your budget go to debt service, you're really screwed. And the legislature and the governor should go in and say, we really goofed up big time, and we really need to correct this. And I'm real sorry we did it. It turned out it was a total fantasy to believe that the sales tax was going to grow continually, which is what the assumption was. And they have never fixed it. They're not going to fix it. They'll just. And when Baker was running for governor last year, he talked a whole lot about two things: his turning around the Harvard Pilgrim Health Plan thing, and then the other thing was. What a brilliant guy he was with money. But when he was called on this on the T fiasco, the financing fiasco, he tried to pretend that he was just a minor player. But he was totally in charge. It was his ideas. He drove it. He got the legislature behind it. It was his thing. He goofed it up. So I don't have a whole lot of faith in his view of the way the money things are supposed to work. But we know where he is. But it turns out this report has a one page that says, forget about that debt thing. It really wasn't all that important, and that's not where the real problems are. And it's a whitewash for Charlie Baker, which is kind of embarrassing, I think. I'm hoping more people are going to be doing that. It was at page 15, Dispelling a Debt Myth. And it's terrible. It's embarrassing. But the Central Artery Project was Charlie Baker's mistake, and the legislature compounded it, and the T is still paying the price for it, and apparently nobody's ever going to own up to it or apologize, but that's the way it is. So instead, This report suggests that the first thing ought to happen is give Charlie Baker all the power over the tea. And the form that's going to take is to have the Massachusetts Department of Transportation Board resign en masse. And then Baker will see whether he wants to bring any of them back or appoint entirely his own people who will do his bidding. And given his history, I'm not so sure that he's going to do the right thing by that. In fact, I'm sure he isn't going to do the right thing. The Harvard Pilgrim mess, we're still all paying for. And it went even beyond the borders of Massachusetts. But he came in to direct Harvard Pilgrim at a time when it had been healthy and happy as Harvard Vanguard, or Harvard Community Health Plan. But it came in, but they broke it up between a physician-owned part, the Harvard Vanguard, and then Harvard Pilgrim, the insurance part. And he butchered the hell out of that. He fired tremendous amounts of people. He left people in Rhode Island and Massachusetts without any health insurance whatsoever. He just took them away. And he increased the premiums and other costs, like 150 or more percent. And, maybe you can't blame him because that's the way that businesses operate, but it's a business, a health insurance business. And other companies said, huh, well, if Harvard can get away with it, we can too. And they all up their prices. So everybody pays more for health insurance as a result of Charlie Baker's turnaround of Harvard Pilgrim. So he says it was a great thing. He's the proudest thing, the best thing he's ever done. And I think he's setting himself up maybe for a run for president in 4 or 8 years, and he'll certainly try to build off of that and say, "Ah, what a good boy am I?" And no, he isn't. He wasn't. And it was, it's pretty bad. If your idea of customer service, which he wants the tea to have, is to take people's services away from them and increase what they pay for it dramatically, that's not it, and that's not what it is on a public utility like mass transit, for example. But that's what the special task force wants to do here. The panel says give Charlie the power, let him appoint the people he wants, and go about his stuff. So, again, I will put the links up there to the site. You should go through and see what they want to do. And some of the things make perfect sense and are overdue. They talk about some bad management. They don't have long enough horizons for their management and financial plans, which, okay, do that. But it ends up sounding more like a Soviet 5-year, 10-year plan that they want. And what's missing, the big thing that's missing from this, is the vision. Where is the vision of what the T ought to be? If it's falling short, okay, you are defining areas where it's fallen short, and where do you want to get to? And this report doesn't say that. It's just assuming that you keep along going what you're doing, you just do it more cost-effectively, and everything's going to be swell. You raise your fares, you raise money through other ways, selling concessions, a lot more advertising, naming stations, doing this kind of stuff. That's all these money-raising schemes. It's like bake sales. But you have all that going on in there. You gouge the writers more, and then you don't necessarily increase the frequency of trains or do anything else to make it less lousy of service, but you just make it so it either breaks even or actually makes a little money. And that's his attitude at Harvard Pilgrim. But I don't think that's what you should be going for. And I think you really need a vision. Do we want to have, do we deserve, are we willing to pay for mass transit that is frequent, clean, safe, and inexpensive? I think the answer would be yes to everybody from Worcester East. Three quarters of the population of Massachusetts would agree that people out in the West they only drive cars and pickup trucks and SUVs. They don't really care. In fact, they hate to see people. They think that all of their hard-earned money, which is a very small percentage and much less than they get out of it from the state projects and the roads and maintenance, all the much less. But they don't want any money to go to the T. They think the city people, should rot. And that's all very interesting. Other than there are a fair number of legislators from the West, so they're hard sells on any of this stuff. They like to keep the city people down. But the fact is, when you ask people about, the major metropolitan areas and entire eastern third to half of the state, they're going to say, yeah, well, I'd like to have fewer cars. I drive too. I'm like everybody else, I guess. I'd love to be the only driver on the road. It would be nice if nobody else got in my way or slowed me down or came at me from another lane. I would like to be the only one. So we want to have fewer cars. And, there are two good ways to have fewer cars. The small way is with more people in the urban areas bicycling. And that's a relatively cheap infrastructure fix. I even know people scream about it, but, putting on cycle tracks and marking and setting aside the areas where it's safe to cycle, those are cheap and easy, much, much less than building highways and streets. And it's just often just a matter of, like $1,000 or $2,000 a mile to stripe it. So it's much, much less expensive than other ways of doing things. So there's bicycling, but the real thing is mass transit. And people want their trains to come on time. They want them to come frequently. They want them to be clean and safe. They want to be able to have a seat. They'd like to have them at a reasonable expense. And I don't know, if you look at this report, much of it's made that Massachusetts T riders pay $2.10 a ride as opposed to New York's $2.50 a ride. And that's really not the reason. That's not what's going on with the money problems we have. They do need to follow the plan that this special panel produced on how to correct some of their management problems. I mean, that makes perfect sense. And they can do that, and they can spend more money on maintenance and do a better job on that, and that's important. But we have most of our rolling stock is far, far too old and needs to be replaced, and that's not going to happen for another decade, basically. Even if some of these things are starting, they're getting bids out, but it takes a long, long time to specify and order and get and test the trains. So it's going to be quite a while, but the T has let their stock dwindle and get worse and worse and worse, in no small part because so much of their money was going to debt service. So much is made in this report of, gosh, if you only spent all the federal money you got, that would be swell. But a lot of things need to be in place, in order for to spend the federal money wisely and get something out of it. So somebody's going to have to be pointing this stuff out. I hope they do, because this thing is kind of slapdash, and there are areas that are, as I said, a whitewash. So they need to do some work on that. But there are areas in there, if the people are serious about it, if they knew implementation of the MBTA board or the Department of Transportation board, I should certainly be able to work off of this. But for God's sake, I hope they start with a vision. I hope they start with what you want to have out of it. Just doing it more cheaply is not the answer. That may be a Republican answer, but that's not the sensible answer. And I think what we need to do here is get an idea of what they want. And I think it's going to be, reliable, frequent, clean, safe, inexpensive mass transit, and get more people onto them and get them to where they need to go and back, and have longer hours, and make it so that people want to take mass transit, and then they leave their cars at home or in the lot next to a transit station, and the towns aren't full of cars, and it's not a hassle to get on 93 or 3 every day. It's not a big deal because people are taking mass transit. And if you start out with that vision, then you can work backwards, and then you can talk about a 10 or 20 year plan to accomplish these things. But I'm hoping they're going to get their act together, and I'm hoping the new way is going to say, okay, What do we want at the end? Because nothing in this report says anything at all about that. It's just the assumption is, if we can do it cheaper, then we can do it better. That's all we need to know. And that's not what it's about. And that's not going to solve our problems. And it's not going to keep people happy. And it's not going to keep the noise and pollution and deaths from cars and all the congestion from happening. Those have to come through, you know, a superior mass transit system. And it's possible. We can do it. But you got to start out with on your journey of knowing where you want to end up. So I'm hoping that they'll do that. I'll do my part. I'll lobby for it. I think you should too. So take a read. Go over to leftahead.com. I'll have a link up there to the PDF, and you can read through their stuff, and you can see there's some good stuff there. It's outrageous stuff out there. But at least they put you know, a stake in the ground here and said this is what we need. And even though the self-serving part that says, oh, Charlie Baker was so wonderful, is in there, we can ignore that. But we need to call out to them and say, for God's sake, you know, start your journey knowing where you want to end up. And they have to. And I'll do my part to see that they do. So thanks for listening in. Check in at leftahead.com also. If I finally get around to booking some more guests, I'll put the next show up there or at my on my Twitter feed at Word, WHIRRED. And I'll let you know what's coming up. So thanks for listening in, and good week.